I'd like to thank you for joining us here for episode 100. Now, we're going to go back to the beginning of August here, August 3rd, 1996, to be exact. I'll give you the reason why in just a moment. But here's a little hint. The title of the episode, Heart Murmurings. Why? Because Jack Hart stopped by the Nortch Studios this week. That's right. Jack and I talk about what he's been up to the last 26 years since this game aired. Then we play along with the game. This tape was chosen at random, and I'm pretty sure Norm paid us a visit. Jack and I looked at each other in wide-eyed amazement. Now, so we can get to this, let me give you the players, the birthdays, and some highlights. So, of course, Jack is playing the game on tape as well as here in the studio. We have Betty from Sudbury, Marge from Indiana, Bruce in Attleboro, and Hiram from Hudson. And though I'm not on the tape, I'll be playing here. Our celebrated birthdays: Tony Bennett, Jay North, Victoria Jackson, Martin Sheen, Richard Adler, John Landis, Martha Stewart, and John Graham. Plus, a pleading Jack asks for a date in history. What year was Calvin Coolidge inaugurated after the death of Warren G. Harding? Other highlights: peeper battery replacement instruction from Jack. Authorities have contacted Norm and informed him Marge was responsible for a breakdown in essential services on her street. Norm recites the Jack Armstrong theme. We learn that Norm is taking a job as Jack's spokesman. Claire de Lune on the harmonica is an emotional experience. Norm does many fine impressions. The Limit, The Strip, and The Root all make an appearance. And to close, Jack and I get philosophical, looking inward, zen-like, regarding traffic and public transportation. Episode 100, Heart Murmurings, beats a path to your ears. Now, without further ado, let me introduce our special guest here in the Teen Canteen. It's none other than Jack Hart.
Hello.
He's here. We haven't seen each other in like 15 years.
That's right, and we're in the same room.
And
what would happen if you did go to further ado?
If I went to further ado? Does anyone know? Because it's always without further ado.
Without further ado. Has anybody actually been there?
I think one has. And because of what happened?
Yeah.
No one wants to do
that
again.
Nobody wants to go there anymore.
No, absolutely not.
So it's not really that big of a not that great an esteem.
No, no. And we're right back where we left off.
I love it.
We're saying nonsense things.
Yes.
Before we get to what we're going to do here, why don't you just give us a very brief description of what you've been up to over the past, let me see. So this tape is from 96 that we're going to be listening to. What is that, 26 years?
That's 26 years. Yeah. So let's see. Right after that show, I had a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And then I drank it. I went home. I couldn't sleep. So I stayed up. I read a book. And then later that afternoon, I nodded off. No. What have I been?
And you answered the phone when I called.
I answered the phone, yeah.
And here you are.
Here I am. Well, I've done all kinds of things. I've run trolley companies. I've continued to do voiceover work. I continue to do traffic reports. I left traffic reports for a number of years to run trolley companies, and now I'm back doing traffic reports and driving trolley tours. And doing other voice work, so I spend my entire life in front of a microphone,
yeah,
which is my absolute favorite place to be.
Yeah. I know. I miss the radio days, but it's so much fun to be back here doing this.
That's right.
And it is amazing that you are back on doing traffic reports again.
Yeah.
It just keeps pulling you back.
That's right.
Keeps calling you back. Hey. The trolley tours, you want to mention the company?
City View Trolley Tours, where you bought the ticket. We leave out of the Long Wharf area, silver trolleys, and we drive around. We tell you all kinds of interesting things about the city. And the other company does a cookie cutter tour, and it takes you to places where you don't need to go. We stick with the places where, we stick with the places that people want to go, and we're nice to people.
Where's the 7-second delay button? Shoot. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't mention it
because there's lots of them.
That's right.
There's a lot of them.
There are other companies in other cities and things like that. So we're the nice trolley company. We take you on a reasonable ride to the places you actually want to see and we tell you interesting things.
Excellent.
We're not mean to our passengers, usually.
Okay. Speaking from experience? You being mean.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I'm mean to my passengers. Okay. They expect it. When you're from Boston, it's sort of like a Durgan Park kind of a thing.
Durgan Park, where we throw some stuff. Sit
down. Durgan Park was a restaurant where the waitresses were noted for being sassy. So, you know, sometimes they expect, you know, when somebody's getting on, where's your ticket, lady? Come on, where's your ticket? You know.
What about when you're driving?
What about
the whole Boston traffic thing?
You got the whole Boston traffic thing. Then, you know, every once in a while, you got to show that finger.
Okay.
And by the way, if you're from Boston, it's a very specific way of showing it. You don't curl your fingers just slightly.
No.
And just limply, you know. You've got to give it a full wagaga, you know.
Yeah, that's correct. And you do that.
Every now and again.
Excellent. That's excellent. Right. Do you mention anything while the mic is on, too? Like, well, you look at this bozo and...
Oh, absolutely. You know, hey, Mr., you know, Mr. Poor Planning over here, you know, in the wrong lane.
Get you that experience of actually driving in Boston, not in your rental car because you're visiting, but what it's like
all
the time.
That's right. For these people from these peaceful places like, you know, some small town in Montana where there's no traffic and so forth in there, and everything is so peaceful. They want to be jolted. They want to be jolted alive.
What's the furthest... I'm assuming other countries, too, that you've had as a passenger. How far away?
Oh, I've had people from all over the world. I've met everybody in the world has been on my trip. If not everybody, then somebody just like them. People from all over the world.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, Russians, Chinese, Malaysians, Singaporeans, and Canadians even, you know.
Wow, even Canadians?
Even Canadians.
I didn't think that was going to happen, but all right.
That's right.
All right. And what about locals? You get locals, a lot of local
we get
people?
A lot of, believe it or not, we get an awful lot of locals. I don't like having locals. You know what I even like even less is somebody who went to college here for 3 months, took a class here, and they know the entire thing, and they're giving a tour while I'm giving mine.
Oh, no!
You know.
I was going to ask you about drawbacks, and clearly that is the drawback
right there.
Someone else.
Thank you for doing a tour while I'm doing mine.
Oh.
You know, it's nice to get a two-for-one here, you know.
And do you drive into the Charles? Oh, no, that's not the type of tour it is.
Yeah, only once, yeah.
It's unintentional.
Yeah, we're not exactly ducks. We're more like pigeons.
That's right. Well, the idea behind today's show is we are going to play a dumb birthday game. We just fished out a cassette. We have not listened to this. I know we've been accused many times of cheating.
Yeah.
During the game.
That's right.
We have. And we did not. Well, again, it's just us telling you that, but believe me.
We did not. It was pure deduction.
Listen. So you hear this in the background? It's an entire box of cassette tapes, and we just pulled one out from August 3rd of 1996, it says. It is a dumb birthday game. There's some notes on it, but we're just going to listen to it. I thought we would guess the ages of the people... because most of them are dead now,
and
see how close we are with those guesses. So we'll do a little bit of pausing of the tape and some commentary as well. And is there anything else before we get started that you would like to add?
Anything else that I would like to add? I'm delighted to be here in your plush but not overly ostentatious studio.
It is. I kind of agree with that.
In the wiles of Marlborough.
Of Marlborough, Mass. That's right, as some of my family has put it. Oh, we got to come out there for the barbecue. I mean, you guys live in the mountains.
This
I used to think that, too, when I was in Boston, traveling out to the Centrum to see shows, now the DCU Center.
Before I owned homes near Worcester at different times, I always thought that this was Western Mass.
That's correct. And then anything beyond that, I don't know. Maybe that's where ado is.
I had
just beyond Worcester.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's further ado.
Further ado, that's right. I had relatives who lived out here when I was a kid. My Aunt Anne and her kids, they were all in similar age. And, you know, when we would come from Dorchester to come out to visit in Marlborough, it was like a long trek to get here.
You would
load up the Conestoga wagon with beans and dried meat products,
that's
you know.
Right,
some
salted.
Pemmican, yeah.
Some salted stuff, right?
Yeah.
Some pemmican. Do you have any of those jugs with the triple X's on them?
We used to load those things up as well. Yeah,
nice.
My mother would get involved in those.
Oh.
And it would take longer to get
I understand
here,
it puts know? Hair on your head. Remains.
If you see people with good heads of hair, you know that as younger people, then, you know. They're consuming too much. Alcoholism, that's what you need. So, right. By the way, I've been sober for a great number of years.
And quit smoking as well.
And I quit smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was hard to get him in the house because he almost didn't fit through the door. No, he's in great shape. And it makes me sick.
Yeah.
He's given up all this stuff and he looks fantastic, everybody. And you'll see it. You'll see it in the thumbnail. Jack is a little closer to the deck. You can magically hit the play button on deck two.
I saw it first, a man who there's no need to introduce you to because you know him very well. He's become a legend in the traffic business. Reporting business. His name is Jack Hart, and the rumor seems to be, Jack, that there are a lot of traffic jams that you cause in order to become a hero about this kind of thing, and so you go back and then report it. Otherwise, you've got nothing to say.
Yes, it's true. I've got a whole network of friends that are working for me. They're causing construction stuff. They're driving into walls. Their cars are breaking down. I got a whole group of friends who drive on very little gas just to help me out.
I think that's very kind of them and very lovely. And the fact that you're backing up traffic, or your friends are backing up traffic in order to give you something to talk about, is nice for you. But it's not, and I hate to say this and to be a wet blanket about it, and act like I'm a poor sport, but there are a lot of people complaining about that, Jack. I think they're wise to you.
Well, you know, you see, the thing of it is, you see, what people don't realize is I'm doing a public service. What I'm doing here is that by sticking people in a backup, I am teaching them about control. You see, it's a time to meditate and relax and to take charge of your life, to be at peace with your inner soul, you see.
Oh, shut up. Oh, that is a big piece of crap.
Funny. It's funny, though. That's
true. I keep thinking, when I lived, one house I lived in many, many years ago, there was a young guy who lived about two houses away. In back of our house was a big field. And this kid, who at the time couldn't have been more than, I don't know, 12 or 13, maybe, yeah, about 12 years old, he'd go into the field and he'd set fire to the grass and things.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we knew he was doing it. And then he'd call the fire department and they'd come out and he'd run out and pretend he was helping them. You know, I guess he just loves to put out fires.
Sure.
And I don't know that he ever got caught at that, you know, because it's kind of hard to turn a 12-year-old kid in who's got that kind of a wild imagination. And has that much. I just wondered about a whole lot of other things, whether those.
Well, you see, he wanted to be a hero, by doing so, he could teach others how to be a hero through his own heroism.
You know, you're a young guy, but you got your head on straight.
You betcha.
Now, hold on just a minute. Let me look. Take another look.
Actually, my hat's on crooked, so my head looks like it.
That's right. Yeah, it looks like it's on straight. See, I'm going to introduce you to a bunch of people who are going to play the dumb birthday game today. I was kind of hoping Tony Nevitt, I don't know who that person is. I think he's one of the people who works for you setting up traffic jams.
Right, but now he's emptying out his gas tank.
Yeah, Tony Nesbitt, actually.
He'd be good, too.
Yeah, Tony Nesbitt is the guy I was thinking of. And because I get a lot of mail saying they get a big kick about you, and especially they get a big kick when you and Tony are both on at the same time, which is usually about now.
Well, we usually have a lot of fun.
Well, I think we ought to somehow see if we can't cash in on this in a financial kind of way. I see no reason to give people pleasure without making money out of it.
I can't believe that this is what we picked. You're here now. We're together now. And he's talking about that.
That's right.
It's just, these are the moments that I feel like Norm had something to do with it.
Oh, absolutely.
I've had many Norm experiences going way back to when I visited his grave, and we're over there and I'm looking at the headstone, and all of a sudden over the hill comes just the smell of horse manure. I know it's an odd thing to think about, but he had a horse.
Sure.
And his car would smell like that. He would talk about that on the air. And I just kind of stopped and looked around. Now, I don't care if there was a horse farm there. The wind suddenly picked up while I'm standing there because it didn't smell until I was there.
Sure.
So it's those things. There was another time where I think I was driving to visit his bandstand that they dedicated to him in Middleton.
Oh.
We're just driving along and the car filled with the smell of what his car used to smell like, which
really
was a mix of hay, dirt and a little bit of manure and horse feed and things like that. And I was like, where is that coming from? And we were just on like 114.
Wow.
So there's other experiences. In fact, I have one right here, people. Pardon me. So this was something that one of the recent, it's a while back, one of the episodes, I should say, mentioned crossword puzzles, and you guys would talk about that.
Sure.
Because, as you would say, you do them by the pound. Do you still do them by the pound?
Not as much as I did because I don't get the because I don't buy the newspapers anymore.
You had mentioned it, and I looked at, picked up this paper. This was the Community Advocate, which is out here in Marlboro and Hudson and the communities out here. And the first thing my eye gets drawn to is one of the questions, and it was the same thing that you guys were talking about. And it was a birthday, and like, oh, you said he appears in crosswords all the time.
Oh, okay.
One of those names. And I'm trying to find it here very quickly, because it was somebody's name, and it was so out there, what you mentioned, and to see it the very next day in the paper, how is that not Norm speaking to me?
Well, you know, energy travels in quanta, and it stays, you know, somewhat cohesive.
That was the thing, for what I understand, quanta was the first Uber.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was.
People traveled by quanta, and...
Yeah, I drove for them for a while, but they
did
were
you?
Cheap. Yeah.
Okay. Well, did they do any trolley tours? Or was it just like a cab or limo service when you used to drive all those folks around the limo?
Yeah. And I would just tell them interesting things.
Yes.
You know, but only kind of interesting things because we were a cheap company. So, you know.
And you'd leave some details out and they
that's
had
to right.
I
wouldn't talk about Paul Revere necessarily. I'd talk about his brother-in-law.
Here we go. One down. Johnson of Laugh-In.
Artie.
Correct.
Yep. A-R-T-E.
There you go. So that's was the birthday on that day was Artie Johnson.
Artie Johnson.
And you know, he appears in crosswords.
Yeah.
And then here's the paper, and I'm like, Artie how Johnson. Is I'm like, and my the first thing I saw, first question down, was that. And I was like, are you kidding me? And there have been others as well. I really need to write them down. I think I started a list somewhere. But I have had many experiences, and it's really, really neat. It's really cool.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's surprising that, you know, I don't want to get into the metaphysics of it all. But, you know, it's actually, when you boil it right down, it actually comes down to actual physics, you know, because energy stays in cohesive bundles.
Yeah.
And, you know, can be neither created nor destroyed. There's always some small amount that coroners can never account for after someone dies. There's always some minuscule amount. So what is that? You know, and is that the energy that is escaping and staying in bundles?
Yeah.
I have relationships with a lot of dead people.
So have you had any of those experiences as well, in Norm-related and otherwise?
Well, you know, different people come to me and talk about Norm all the time, but
yeah.
other people who have other people who've moved off this mortal coil. You know, I have had a long running conversation with my father for years, and a couple of other friends here and there, and you know they respond. They don't always give you the answer that you want, but I don't want to tie up with a lot of specifics, but I've had some pointed experiences that tell me from beyond.
There's no other explanation. It's not coincidence. It's not. It just does.
It's just.
You have to go
pointed.
There. It's crazy. Just another one of those moments.
Yep.
I'm thinking of some kind of, I don't know, a Tony and Jack card or sweatshirts or... Do they still call them sweatshirts?
Oh, wow. Sure.
Oh, okay. In Ireland, they call them jumpers, but... no, but that's okay. No, because, you know, when you get older... Come closer. I don't want everybody to hear this, Jack.
Yeah.
When you get older, you're afraid to use certain phrases because you think... Then people will really know I'm totally out of touch. And the important thing is the reason I'm still in broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of reasons. At this age, and after all these years, is number one, management doesn't know I'm here. That's the key thing right there. They don't even know I'm working for them. You think the station's off the air. No, well, I don't know about that, but they feel somebody is here, but they don't.
Sure.
Why would I get up at 18 or 19 minutes after 3 o'clock in the morning to check? There must be somebody there.
I haven't gotten any bad calls from the transmitter engineer or anything. See?
Oh no, they know that you're there, and they know that you're there for good reason. There, you're doing a public service by keeping people amused and adding a little bit of silliness to the world.
That's right. That's we haven't mentioned our slogan for a long time, have we? Leave this world a little sillier than you found it. That's what I'm crocheting that. I'm a doily. Embroidering it. That's right. I'm embroidering that. I haven't embroidered anything on my doily for a long time.
Holy smoke, you're right.
Yeah, you know.
Haven't even tatted a doily, for that matter.
Haven't tattered anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe the lives of a few of my close friends. Anyway, let me introduce you to some of the people who'll be playing the game with us, because I know you'd like to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
This is Betty, who is a retired school teacher from Sudbury. I sound like Jeopardy. And here she is.
You say tired or retired?
Don't be wise with me, Betty, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was tired once. I'm retired now.
Yeah, that's right. This means you're tired for the second time. It's your retire. No, I sound like the
Alex Trebek.
Trebek, yeah, on Jeopardy. And Betty, the retired school teacher from
I'm
Sudbury.
I'm not retired.
Oh, see, now you're screwing up my team here. He would say,
from Winnetka.
Yeah, and this is her third appearance on Jeopardy, and she's won $23,000. And then we have Marge from Indiana, who's won nothing.
That's true. However, I'm going to try again because my key ring is kaput. It has gone the way of all flight.
Oh, you mean the battery ran down and
stuff?
Yeah. I don't know whether you could put a new battery.
You can.
You can?
Yep. I figured out how to do it. I haven't replaced the battery in my key ring yet. However, you press on the peeper through the middle, and you can push the back off, and there's just a small little button battery in there, like a hearing aid battery, as we would call them, and you just take it out and replace it.
Technical guidance.
So there you go, Betty. I mean, Marge, that's all you need to do. That's interesting, you know.
You went to replace her battery.
Yeah, she's and a phone went dead. I think she's living on the, who could that be? Are you there, Betty?
Here.
Betty, you're there.
I'm here, but you weren't talking to me about the battery.
Oh, no, Marge got, no, we're trying to figure out who was, you know, where that dial tone was coming from. Marge apparently got disconnected. She's out in Indiana.
Oh.
And anyway, so we're calling her back. We'll get her
okay.
on.
Okay.
We're going to go to Bruce in Attleboro. Hi, Bruce.
How you doing?
I'm doing so far. I'm doing really great. I imagine...
Well, that's so nice, as you would say.
Yeah, just so darn nice.
So darn nice.
Butterflies must be just floating around your body now.
Well, you know what happens? It seems like it never happens.
It seems like what?
It seems like it never happens, and we never get to the game, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, the game is kind of incidental to it all.
Oh,
who cares about the age of the people?
So the philosophy is just to sort of...
To sort of horse around a lot with a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the basic philosophy. I think we have Marge back with us. Hello, Marge.
Hi, I'm here. I don't know what happened, but...
I got a report from the Indiana State Police saying you fell on the phone and disconnected your entire street, as a matter of fact, is now without electricity, phone service, or gas.
Oh, I didn't know that my actions had such significance.
They do. They have
a
very wide effect. So kind of do something about that and deport yourself accordingly.
I think you mean comport.
No, I mean deport.
Well, get out of here.
Yeah, let's go to Hiram, who's in Hudson, Massachusetts.
Yeah,
do you remember Jack Armstrong went to Hudson High School?
I didn't know about him.
In fact, that was the opening line, and I wondered what Hudson High School. Do you have a high school in Hudson, Massachusetts?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know whether you might have had a regional school or something.
Well, okay. We have regional, and but the high school is Hudson High School.
It's Hudson, but it's just answer the question simply, because we're going to have to throw you out of the courtroom.
I believe you.
Okay. No. I've never known which Hudson High School Jack Armstrong went to, but the opening line was, raise the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand.
Although that's kind of a silly lyric, isn't it?
Yeah, but I never
let's show them how we're going to sit. And
yeah, that's
show
right.
Them how we're going to lean on our elbow. And...
yeah, that's right.
So as long as we stand, ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land. See, it has to be stand so it can rhyme with land.
Right.
Anyway, that was Jack.
Be grand or sand.
Could be. Yeah, show them
show
how
us sand.
Yeah, show us... Yeah,
you're beginning to falter.
Yeah, I think I'm faltering pretty badly here. I'm holding up the entire program
with my hand.
Yeah. Let me get back to you on that, okay? I got to check it out. People always say, "Well, let me check that out." Okay. Would you put everybody on hold, Tom? Just for the time being. Don't anybody go away. What I'm going to do is, while our contestants are disconnected, I'm going to do something very magical. I'm going to put on this screaming commercial. My town of Middleton, Massachusetts, and I'm just so darn proud. I can tell you.
The commercials were edited out a lot on Joan's tapes, unless she fell asleep.
This is
one of our friend Joan McCool's tapes that we're listening to now, and some of them have them in there because, man, we used to make fun of those commercials.
We had a lot of fun with the area with Gold Bond powder. I scratched and I scratched till I finally struck bone.
Oh, my God. Eucalyptament and stinky feet. Just all of that stuff and just was medical maladies throughout the night.
That's right.
Some of them were edited out, but she knew what she was doing because for the most part, a game would fit on one side of a tape as long as she edited out the commercials.
That's right.
She was a pro. She still is a pro.
She still is a pro.
Oh, and we were talking about her earlier, I did look her up her birthday. It's in October, and she will be turning 91.
91.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah, because my birthday's in October, and I remember, I deduced that because I like the smell of leaves.
Oh, are you a pumpkin spice guy?
I think that's a travesty. So sick of pumpkin spice.
Thomas's English muffins in the store the other day. They were already out.
Pumpkin spice English
and
muffins.
Who the Halloween candy aisle was all filled.
Yeah. Who needs a pumpkin spice English muffin?
God.
Who needs pumpkin spice coffee?
I think the worst thing I saw was Cheerios.
Is that right? Pumpkin spice Cheerios. You know what I saw recently? Pumpkin spice. I don't know.
I have a member of my family who can't wait for this time
of
year.
That's right. I had a roast beef sandwich the other day. They asked if I wanted pumpkin spice.
It's on everything.
Everything.
It's on everything. I think I may have a K-cup with pumpkin spice. And I come in here, I'll sprinkle a little bit on the microphone.
Yeah.
It smells nice in here. A little potpourri.
When I was younger, I remember being offered some pumpkin spice. I don't even want to tell you how. You
know? Oh, okay. Yep. Those days are long gone, though.
That's right. I bought a little pumpkin spice.
That you, Jack, moaning there?
Yeah, I know.
Yes, it's a fact. It's right around the corner from where I am, and that's why I often sneak in there after dark and steal the golf balls.
But I have a cousin who lives, who's one of your constituents.
In Middleton, Massachusetts?
Yes.
No, what's your cousin's name?
Danny Flaherty.
Danny Flaherty?
Yeah. He's just a couple of weeks younger than me.
Just a young kid.
Just a young kid.
I imagine he'll be calling me for advice soon on town politics and stuff. They all do that, you know.
They want to add an addition or something.
Yeah. They'll call. Anyway, let's get to the dumb birthday game because I can tell Bruce is getting impatient. Okay, Tony Bennett. Today's Tony Bennett's birthday. Born on August 3rd. He was born Antonio Dominic.
Give me the year.
Pardon me?
Once give me the year.
No, see, everybody pulls that joke. See, and it's after a while it begins to wear thin.
All right, he's 72.
So Tony Bennett. All right,
Tony Bennett.
All right, so Leo, why don't we pause right now?
But it is Tony Bennett.
That's
right. Some of the same letters.
1996.
Let's see. Tony,
trying to remember
Bennett.
How old he is now.
Let's see. He's 406 now. I left my heart in San Francisco. Let's see. I'm going to say that in 1996, that's 26 years ago, I'm going to say that he was 62.
62. Okay. 26 years ago. What are we? Oh, it's 2022, right? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So
in the Gregorian calendar.
I'll go with 68. Is he 94 now? He can't be 94 now. 67. 68. I'll go with my first answer, 68.
68.
Here we go.
I think I'm going to shortchange myself here with a 62.
Wait a minute. I didn't ask you yet. I was giving you a little background on Tony Bennett. Born Antonio Dominic Benedetto in Astoria, Long Island. Also, he paints under the name Benedetto, his real name, or his birth name. Bob Hope gave him his stage name in 1950 backstage at the Paramount Theater in New York. Hope told Bennett, "You can't be a big star with a name like Benedetto. It'll never fit in a marquee." What? That's so stupid. That was really dumb.
Well, everybody used to change their name from ethnic sounding names.
It's a wonder. Yeah. You wonder why Frank Sinatra? I mean, that's obviously an ethnic sounding name. Why didn't he change his name to? What would he change his name to? Sam, Frank. I don't know.
Sam Sinatra.
But he didn't, and you know, and the name is so household.
Oh, well, Sinnott or something.
Sinnott, yeah. Ooh. His biggest hit, "I Left My Heart in San Francisco," of course, 1962. It was.
Of course, Sinatra had changed his name for his tomato sauce.
Artanis.
That's right. Yeah, backwards.
He just went backwards.
Frank Artanis.
Yeah, that sounds less ethnic.
Yeah.
Hit, but never got higher than number 19 on the charts. I'm telling us, more than I even care to know about. He won a Record of the Year Grammy for the song. Anyway, he's on MTV now, and he's got a whole new career going. His career's been going right along, but a whole shot in the arm and doing very, very well. Let me start with you, Betty. What do you think? How old is Tony Bennett?
I'll start with 79.
79. And Marge?
I'll say 79 as well.
79. And now, Bruce, you said 72?
Could I change my...
Sure.
74.
Okay. What do you think, Hiram?
Well, I'll kick in with around 73. I got some memories of him.
Okay, and Jack?
70.
70 is exactly right.
Oh,
he is 70 years old today.
Wow.
And there'll be a lot of stories in the papers. So what's age got to do with it? Tony Bennett, who turned 70 this very day, isn't giving up on his concert schedule or his popularity with the younger generation. On Sunday will be his first full day as a 70-year-old. I don't know why today's not. I guess maybe he was born in the middle of the day or something. He's opening up a rock club on Sunday, singing at the new Billboard Live Club in Los Angeles. And his spokeswoman says he feels younger than ever and said he can't believe he's going to be 70. He has to have a spokeswoman say that for him. The reason he couldn't say it himself is because he's deathly ill and he's lying down and he's exhausted because he's 70. I always admired that. We all have spokespeople, so we don't have to talk to anybody and somebody speaks for us for everything. I'm a spokesperson for Jack Hart. He would like another olive in his martini, something of that nature.
And Norman, you get my 12, my 4 o'clock traffic report, but you don't know about the work crews on the
road. Mr. Hart would like to report work crews at every conceivable spot tying up traffic, and the fact he also would like to report that the Mystic River Bridge, or as we call it, the Tobin Bridge, is now falling down. Thank you.
And tell him that I'm feeling fine, too.
He's feeling fine. He's lying down in the Callahan Tunnel. Anyway, the winner anyway there was Jack Hart. We got so carried away by that humor that I kind of lost my place.
Enjoying the bulb changing North. The wall wash.
Jay North. Remember Jay North? Dennis the Menace. That's right. He was Dennis the Menace on TV from 19. Remember these dates now because that'll help clue you in on the age. 59 to 63. And I'm not. The next line is how old he was when the series started.
Like 47 as an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah, that's right. He was. He looked a lot younger than he really was. Now, how old do you think he is today? Let me start with you, Jack. What do you think?
Let me see. 64 was 32 years ago.
Dan North.
And,
Jan North.
Let me see. I think he was 100 when he finished. So he was 132.
What do you think?
Let's see. 32 years ago. And let's see if he was.
Let's see.
He's got some pre-math going on there. Dennis the Menace was...
Let's see. So, let's see. 1964, the show started. Is it, what did he say? The show started in 1964?
No, I think
it started in 59.
Yeah, and ended in 64.
So, he looked younger than he was, that he should have been. I'm going to say that he was 10 years old then. So, 36 years later at the time, I'm going to say that he was 46. I'm going to say 47.
10... 46, 47. That sounds pretty good. So you're saying 47. All right. And 96, 10. How about 46?
12. That would be, he'd be, I'll say 45.
Ooh.
45. Okay. And what do you think, Hiram?
I'll say around 42.
42. What do you think, Bruce?
I think he's 45.
45, okay. Marge?
I'll say 45 as well.
Okay. I think you have a great influence upon people, Jack.
I think he does, too.
I hope you use that power wisely.
Yes.
Because you could destroy the Earth. I wanted to be evil about it. I'll take it over. Betty, what do you think?
I'll say 48.
48. Okay, 45 is really right.
Hey.
Yeah, so Marge, Bruce, and Jack all have got that. Jack has 2 out of 2.
Are you going to accuse
and
me of
Bruce
cheating?
And Marge have
What's
one
that? Piece. You're 2 out of 2 so then. I'm 2 out of 2 now. That's fantastic.
Golly jeepers. Okay, how about Victoria Jackson? You know Victoria Jackson? Okay, I'll tell you.
She's still makeup.
A comedian, actress...
Blonde girl.
Appeared on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
She was in films Casual UHF. Sex and The Pickup. The Pickup Artist. Yeah. Boy, those sound like great films, don't they?
She's kind of a dingy, well, at least the characters that she plays is sort of your basic dingy blonde.
Yeah, what happened to her? That's a good question. But I can picture her, so...
She was cute as a bug.
Yes. So in 96?
96, I'm going to say she was 31.
Yeah, because she wasn't too far off of Saturday Night Live at that point.
Probably not.
29.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea what she looks like. She was the voice of, or is the voice still, of Bam Bam on the Flintstones. I don't know if that's any clue for anybody or
the
not.
The original Flintstones in the 60s?
No, it just says the voice of Bam Bam on the Flintstones.
I don't remember that at all.
She's the voice, yeah. She's the voice of Bam Bam.
Must have been a later incarnation.
Hi, I'm the voice of Bam Bam on the Flintstones.
And why is she the voice?
She would always oftentimes show up on the Letterman show wearing like a bustier or something, just to kind of embarrass Letterman.
Oh, really? Well, yes, Victoria Jackson. Let's start with you, Hiram. What do you think?
I'm completely lost. I haven't heard any of those at all. I'll give her around, I'll say 43.
Okay, 43. And what do you think, Betty?
52.
52. Bruce?
48.
Bruce says 48. Marge?
I'll say a big 50.
Okay, and Jack?
She's closer to my age, and maybe 35.
Okay, how old are you? You're 33?
I'll be 35 in a couple of months.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's years of to go by,
yeah.
Yeah,
it must be a little harder to get out of bed in the morning.
All that noise just wakes up the whole building.
Oh, I imagine you're probably awake most of the time anyway. It's hard at your age to sleep very soundly with long periods of time.
Can I turn?
You probably eat things that are kind of very soft and mushy because... It's hard to chew also, I would guess.
Yes,
huh?
I just had some oatmeal for my lunch. And it was tough on my gums.
Victoria Jackson is actually 37.
Whoa.
37.
So Jack has got that one again. He said 35. Yeah, she's 37. And everybody gets beyond that. How about Martin Sheen?
You were closer then than you were now, but you won that one.
That's right.
Let's see what I can tell you about Martin Sheen. I may give you some clues.
Martin Sheen.
He was, of course, born Ramon Estevez. I really admire his son, who's gone back to the family name.
That would be Emilio.
Emilio.
Martin Sheen in 1996.
1996. Let's see. He had in the 80s. He played Robert Kennedy. Who would answer when the world asks why?
Yeah.
I'm going to say in 1996. I'm going to guess that right now he's about 82. But I'm going to say that he was 56 in 1996.
96, all right, so 20. All right, I'll go one. I think he might be 83 now. So what would that be? Help me with my math.
That would make 40, him, I think this is a 7 57. There.
57.
Yeah,
57. 57. All right, here we go.
He was born in Dayton, Ohio, and he was in the films Gettysburg, Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah.
If not now, at least first thing in the morning. So there was going to be a sequel later, so they abandoned that idea. Gandhi, Wall Street,
yep.
JFK. He was in his in with one of his sons was in that too, wasn't he?
JFK.
No, Wall Street.
Oh. Martin Sheen, maybe.
Yeah, Martin. What's his son?
Charlie.
Charlie Sheen. Yeah, Charlie Sheen was in that. JFK, and Hear No Evil. He's in something now. I see him. I forgot. Oh, he was in An American President.
Yeah, he was also in the Missiles of October.
Oh, yeah. Did you see An American President, any of you? Because I thought that was a fine movie. That was with Michael Douglas playing the president, and Martin Sheen played his chief of staff. Excellent, excellent movie. Okay, let's start with you, Marge. How old is Martin Sheen? He's the father.
Right. I will guess he's 56.
56. Okay. And what do you think, Betty?
55.
Okay, and Jack?
That's the limit. Used to be the limit.
63. Bruce?
Oh, you went way
I think he's 62.
63, you said.
62. Okay.
You said 63
Hiram,
then.
What do you, how old do you think Martin Sheen is?
I'll jump right in the middle and say around 58.
And what do you think, Betty?
55.
Okay, and Jack?
63.
Bruce?
I think he's 62.
62, okay. Hiram, how old do you think Martin Sheen is?
I'll jump right in the middle and say around 58.
58. Okay, a lot of you are very, very close. He actually is 56, which is what Marge said.
Hey!
Right, I was so Marge more correct now than is, I was back
not
then.
Quite tied with Jack. Jack has 3, Marge has 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love for you to win, Marge, because I'm trying to, again, as I've mentioned in the past, Jack, being a member of the staff, doesn't win anything. If he wins, you know, he doesn't get anything. And thus, the clutter remains in my house.
Yeah, and I would like a new key ring, because when I took it apart to look at it, the wire contact. I mean, anyway, it's history. So, I mean, it's still a key on it.
You're a mechanic and a technical person.
I
like
know,
many
a
of
real
us
whiz.
Are.
I destroy every...
Okay. Richard Adler, who's the songwriter, was born on... Also born August 3rd, Richard Adler. I'm trying to think. Adler and
the guy with the beard and the sweater who does the show.
What's that?
This isn't the guy with the beard and the sweater who does the TV show and radio talk show.
Oh, no. The one who's on the BU station?
Yeah, the big white guy.
The one with the big mouth and the authoritative way of speaking in a very pompous way. You mean that one? I never noticed the sweater, but I did notice the pomposity. I've noticed that.
Always a sweater vest, a big wide tie, and the beard.
Now, and he does a weekend show, one or the other. Lesson on Boston radio stations that nobody listens
to. Start daubing your brow just because you've got on so many clothes and the beard.
I love when
anyway,
loses
that,
like
that's
that.
Not the one. This is Richard Adler. His Charles Adler. No, not Charles Adler. That's another guy I know.
I have
Isn't
no idea.
Funny?
Who is
I can't
this?
Think of that.
It was
guy.
Larry Adler, the harmonica player.
That's right. Played Claire de Lune enough to make you bring tears to your eyes. Anyway, Richard Adler's the Tony Award winner for co-wrote Damn Yankees and Pajama Game.
Oh.
He also did the musical film scores for those same shows. I'm trying to think of Jerry Ross, was it? Who wrote them? I should know that. I'm ashamed of myself.
I'll just say 50.
But he was part of the team of Adler and Ross. I think Ross was the other guy.
And they didn't turn out too many things. So Ross died, I think, soon after Pajama
I'm
Game,
go with
came
72.
Soon after Damn Yankees, or maybe the other way around. Anyway,
that is Richard quite the disparity.
Adler, Richard Adler. Let's check in with you, Bruce. What do you think? How old is he?
Well, he's got to be long in the tooth. I said 75.
Okay, 75.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And by the way, Martin Sheen played in also that movie, The Execution of Eddie.
Private Eddie Slovak.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Made for TV.
Still a good flick.
I'll have to rent that. I've started renting videotapes. That's how I got to see American President and a couple other things. Anyway, Jack, what do you think? How old is Richard Adler?
Yeah, let's see. Darn Yankees. How old would that show be?
That was that came out in the either 50s or 60s. Oh. I'm not really sure.
I think in the 50s because Pajama Game was late 50s, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah,
oh,
I think
boy.
So.
I got to change my answer.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
Maybe he wrote it as a baby. Yeah.
Really no good kidding. Songs there. I love Damn Yankees.
78.
Especially that was about the guy who sold his soul to the devil so he could be young and play with the Washington Senators. It wasn't the Yankees. It was the Washington Senators. It was from a book called The Year the Yankees Lost a Pennant or The Year the Senators Won the Pennant. I've forgotten.
There's a lot of information in this episode.
80.
Oh.
Okay. And Betty, what do you think?
77.
Okay. And
that's the stretch.
Marge?
I think 79.
Okay. What do you think, Hiram?
Well, I'll be nice to him and say probably only around 66.
Okay. I wish I had your name.
That's
Hiram
the root.
Is such a comfortable name. It sounds like you wear, you know, gray sweaters that button up in front.
Oh, my. You
and,
know me.
No, is that, I mean, it's a kind of a comfortable old. It sounds like an old New England name, but Hiram, it probably isn't. It's sort of a country name.
Oh, it is a biblical name.
It's a biblical name, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Richard Adler is 75, which is what Bruce said.
Oh,
well, this thing is really
today. We both went up 3 years off each.
I'm not
so scary that I even guessed that.
You're tied to a piece, and Jack still has three. So maybe get caught up with John Landis. Mm-hmm. Who is John Landis? Mm-hmm. Are you saying?
Yeah.
He's a director. Yeah, did Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
He directed that Michael Jackson video, The Thriller. Remember, that was quite a big deal. That was John Landis. Betty, what do you think?
Ew, 62.
I would say 53. Clark. He did American Graffiti.
Okay.
But it was like his first film. And he was like 12 or 13 or something when he did that, you know.
American Graffiti with Harrison Ford and wasn't Harrison Ford on that?
Opie Cunningham.
Ron
Howard.
Ron Howard, that's right. Okay. And that was in the 70s.
That was about 1970, 71, 72. It was before Happy Days.
Yeah.
Happy Days came out in 74. So that came that was like 1972. And it was kind of a building into that era of
53.
He was very young when he did that movie.
All right, I'm gonna say 46.
I'm gonna say 52.
52. All right.
Oh, the tension mounts.
That's just a guess. Wild guess.
I kind of guessed when you giggled a little bit at the end that it was just a wide guess. Marge, what do you say?
I'll say 64.
64. Okay. Bruce?
I have no idea, but I'll say 60. It sounds good.
Okay. What do you think, Hiram?
I'll give him 70.
Yeah, see, when I mention your name, I want to do it with a New England accent, like, what do you say there, Hiram? I say, let's go down to the barber shop and watch him cut hair. We can all talk a while there.
Give it an aristic accent.
What's that?
Give it an aristic Maine accent.
Oh, is that from aristic Maine? I see. Because that's one of my favorite parts of the country.
Jack, how old do you think John Landis is?
I think he was a youngster when he did some of those things. I'll say he's 43.
You are the closest. He's actually 46.
Oh!
Jack is pulling ahead.
I said 46.
You're familiar with Martha Stewart? She's on television quite a lot.
But he was young when he did American.
I guess lifestyle advisor.
She can do everything.
She
can cook, she can bake, she can hammer a nail, dig a ditch, plant a seed. She can do it all.
And tidy up a jail cell. All right.
All doing it while being cute as the dickens.
Oh, I got a little bit of a crush on Martha Stewart.
Yeah. Even at, you know, the 97, whatever she is now, you know, she's right. She's still a cutie, but she's starting to get that sort of thinity voice, you know.
Oh, I have not heard her in a long time.
I've heard her on a commercial, you know. It's the right thing to do. Oh, no, that was Wilford Brimley.
With the diabetes.
Diabetes. Eating the oatmeal. It's the right thing to do.
That's right.
Good for you, you know. Well, load it up with sugar and have your diabetes for breakfast.
Yeah, what is... all right, so Martha Stewart. 96 was...
I'm going to say that she was... Let me see. I would make a point of watching her show at the time. So I'm gonna say that it
was that Martha Stewart Living, or was that the magazine?
Yeah, she was living at the time. No, it was. Well, everything was cross promoted. I mean, you know,
yeah.
she was brilliant in that way.
She was.
There was the magazine and the show and the things that they were selling at the Kmart and all that.
Oh yes, housewares. Yeah. What do you have? Bedding and what is that section called?
Housewares.
Is it housewares like coffee makers and blenders?
No, that would be kitchen.
That would be kitchen?
Yeah.
Housewares were the sheets and the shower curtains?
If it was just the shower curtains, it would be bath.
Bath.
But when you put in the sheets
and the blinds,
I thought there was another word. Sheets and the blinds, yeah, because you don't have the sheets in the bath.
Yeah. Yeah, the curtains are
rarely sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Unless you're into it,
that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I knew a lady once. You know.
Pardon me, your sign fell down.
I'm gonna say she was 48 at the time.
All right, Jack says 48. Wow, in 96 she was 48. Well, I guess so. 74 now.
Yeah, I might be a little lowballing there a little bit. She might have been like maybe 50. She might be in her 80s by now. But I'm going to stick with what I say.
I'll have to guess something different. Why don't we go a little bit younger. I'll say 46.
46.
That's right. Let's see what else it says. Well, she has a magazine and many books. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that she wrote these many books. That she has many books.
She's got a stack of magazines. And she's got a whole
book library.
Just sitting around messing up her home.
In all these years, I didn't think I could make a dime off the books and magazines that I'm good at.
She has actually written a lot, and she's on television quite a lot, sticking her nose in everybody's business, telling them what to do.
And I think she's got a deal with Kmart or something too.
I believe that's so, and she's been divorced for a little while.
Hmm.
I don't know why I bring that up. I know a lot of people have been divorced, and it's not a terrible thing.
She's such a homemaker. She does so much. You figure, you know, that a man would want to stay around and eat some of her cookies and puff pastries and, you know, her pickled tomatoes and such.
She'd know how to hold on to a man because she knows all about home covers, and she's an attractive lady.
Yeah, she's a cutie.
Yeah, I think I may propose marriage to her. I'm just beginning to talk myself into it. You talked myself into it, John. Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll never have to mow the lawn again. You never have to trim a bush, nothing. She'll do it. She'll cook.
Okay, let's see. Let's start with, we'll start with you this time, Jack. What do you think?
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. Or as we say here in New England,
Martha.
Or up at Rooster County, we say Martha Stewart.
Stewart. How long would it take to acquire all the knowledge that she has?
just the knowledge alone. Scraping gunk off the bottom of a frying pan.
Sure.
I think takes a long time.
And you know how long she spent studying how to make little snow people out of cones of styrofoam?
No, I didn't know that.
Stick a pipe cleaner in this side and a thing. And let's see.
And a three-layer cake, each one depicting a different season of the year. That takes a long time to learn that.
Just to get through all those seasons.
That's right.
Let's see. She, well, with all that knowledge, she could be 1,000. But I would have to say she's 49.
Very close to what you guessed now. You said 48.
And what do you think, Hiram?
I go with 46.
46. Okay. What do you think? How old do you think she is? Bruce?
52.
Bruce says 52. And Marge?
I will concur with Jack because he's so on the mark so often. So I will say 49.
Okay. And when we get to the answer, it'll teach you whether or not you ought to trust other people or hate their guts. We'll find out in just a few minutes. But first, watch this. Betty, how old do you think Martha Stewart is?
53. I think she's great. I've learned a lot from her in the morning.
Yeah, she's done. She become almost a legend at that.
The gamut. But you know why? She's smart enough to go after the person who knows the most in whatever she's doing, and then she gets them on her program.
And you know, it's interesting that you were the closest to her age, too. She's 55 years old today.
Wow.
And you said 53.
What did I say?
Bruce, yeah, I got
you
one.
Said 48.
Bruce was very close.
So you
he
get
said
that
52.
One.
52. And here's the last one.
Oh.
Oh, and I know that. You always feel so disappointed, Jack. I always keep calling you John. John is your name, though, actually.
John is my name, but I get flushed every time I hear it.
John gets flushed. I think I catch on to that.
Wow.
I think I understand that. This is a John.
I said that on
John
the radio.
Graham. Who in heaven's name is John Graham? He was he's the guitarist with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Are they still in business?
Earth and Wind
revival now. Shows at hotels, lounges, and state fairs.
That comment you made was very moving.
Occasionally at PTO meetings.
Yeah.
The biggest hit was Shining Star. This may be a clue. Shining Star, that was in 1975. Or is my... never mind. I was going to do an accent there, but there's no point to that. I might as well finish it. As my father-in-law would say, 1975. But there was no need. Yeah, he would have said 75. Now, as a matter of fact, I'm thinking of a little excerpt from a Fred Allen show. Forget that. It's pretty boring. John Graham, anyway, if that year, 1975, helps you for the Shining Star guitar player, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I'm going to just guess 48. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Didn't Lionel Richie come from Earth, Wind, and Fire? Commodores. Oh, those are the Commodores. Commodores, I think. Yep. What did you say? 40s?
Somewhere in the 40s. I think I said 46.
Yeah, I think you did too. 1975, they were probably young though. But
yeah,
still, we're
20s.
Looking at 96, yeah.
So that, but that's 20s. That's 21 years later. People don't realize that we actually used deduction. We didn't have the opportunity to cheat back then.
Yeah.
When we came up with these answers, we used absolute deduction.
That's right. That's right. You just think if you remembered who they were or by Norm's clues,
that's right.
You could get pretty close.
Yep.
But scandal still ensued. All right. So if he's 24 and 75, that's what I'm going to go with.
21 years later.
That's 45.
Maybe 45.
Yeah. All right, I will. I'll say 45.
All right.
Let's start with you, Marge. What do you think?
I'll say 52.
52. Okay.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, my father-in-law used to talk that way, too. Yeah. 75. He's about 75. Then he would say 52, you know. He had 9 or 10 different accents. It was really amazing. You think you were in a room with 12 other people.
He's a crowd unto himself.
He was, yes. Hiram, what do you think? John Graham.
Oh, around 50.
Okay, we'll say 50. And Betty?
51.
Betty says 51. And Bruce?
I think he's 49.
49.
Okay. And Jack?
I'll round it off to 48.
48.
A little bit older.
And you would be, yeah, you just snuck in ahead of Bruce with that one, yeah. Bruce said 49. You said 48. He's actually 45. So I guess Jack
was right on the
money. With this. That means a whole bunch of junk, worthless, tasteless, tacky stuff I got has to sit there for another day.
See how the deduction worked?
That's exactly right. I'll be sitting in this all this next week. So we'll be on for the next 10 nights. That means I got a fighting chance of really clearing out maybe a shelf or two of junk.
You know what you should do? Now, this would be the perfect time to do it. What you need to do is get all the people who have like been big winners. I'm talking big winners in the birthday game. Get them on there, and we'll sort of have a birthday off.
That'd be an idea. Yeah,
that is a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We're not talking about close margins. We're talking about big winners.
Yeah, people who've, you know, won like almost every single round.
Yeah,
nobody else has come close.
And we'd still play, you and I.
That's right. Yeah, and then we'll get a few of those. Boy, wouldn't the sparks fly?
Actually, I guess the first time I played that happened. I think it was like 6-1 or something. I mean, I think I just absolutely walked away with it. It was amazing.
So you were a big winner?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I played. Woo.
Yeah, so she would be brought back as a big winner.
But my luck hasn't been so good lately.
Well, what the heck, as long as we're just kind of folks in having such a good
time.
That's
right, we're all
having
fun.
It's like
they do
on Jeopardy. Right. Yeah. Tournament of Champions.
See the scores.
Right.
You probably don't even care, but Betty has won one round, and Marge, two, and Bruce, also two, and Jack, five.
That was my score today. Yeah.
Let me tear up the scorecard before it gets into enemy hands. Yeah, because I shouldn't have done that. I tore up another piece of paper. As you know, the scorecards go into the WBZ Hall of Fame.
That's correct.
Up on the 54th floor, old wall, across from the souvenir shop,
with the plaques, with the brass plates, without any names on them yet.
That's right. We're waiting. You mean waiting for people to die so we can then engrave their names on those plaques? That's right. Yeah.
No historical events today, Norm.
The way you asked the question was
whining. I can give you one. Yeah, the game is really over, but I'll give you one if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay, let me see if I get the. Okay, let me see if I get you a really good historical
dates
event.
And history.
Christopher Columbus set sail from Palos, Spain, but I think you know the year.
Does it rhyme with ocean blue?
Yes. Workers at the Pullman Palace Car Company had their strike broken, and they ended their walkout. They walked out, and then
you had
the
to
strike
ask,
is broken.
Yes.
On this very day, on August 3rd, I'll tell you the date. That's 1894. Were you going to guess that? Is that what you were going to say there?
Right?
Okay, that's pretty good. How about this one? Calvin Coolidge, on this very day, August 3rd, Calvin Coolidge was sworn in as the 30th president of the United States following the death of Warren B. Harding. There was another note here. It said he was sworn in by his father, who's a notary public, said good night, and he went back to bed, which sounds like him, doesn't it?
I remember hearing that.
Wow. Yeah, he was born up in Vermont. Was it Vermont or Maine?
Vermont.
Yeah. And then ended up in Massachusetts, and was in the was a politician in Northampton, and of course became mayor, governor of Massachusetts. Anyway, what year would that have been then when he was sworn in?
Oh gosh.
We'll start with you. What do you think, Betty? That's right. You're the not retired school teacher.
Yeah.
I'm gonna listen to her answer.
I'm going for 70. You know. Think I'll make it?
You're going to go for you're trying to be, you want to be, you're younger than 70, and you want to know whether you're going to make it till the age of 70?
No, teaching for two more years.
Teaching two more years will mean that you've been teaching for 70 years? No, you don't mean that.
No, I mean I'm going for the June after my 70th birthday to retire.
Oh, I see. Okay, sure you'll make it. Of course you will, you silly pook.
And then I'm planning on taking over your job between the ages of 70 and 80.
Yeah. Wow. I try not to repeat my age too often because... Once it gets to management, it takes about 4 years for it to get to them. Then I'm out of here.
Anyway, I'm looking into second careers after I retire.
Okay, we're running kind of late now that I've yacked so much.
Okay, the year
Calvin Coolidge sworn in.
I have to hear.
All right, the death of Harding. 21 or 2? Let me see. I'll say 1922.
All right, so that's a hint there.
Calvin Coolidge.
And Warren.
Floyd the Barber on Andy Griffith was always talking about Calvin Coolidge. You know what Calvin Coolidge said? Yeah, nobody did Calvin Coolidge say? No, that was Mark Twain. Oh. What did Calvin Coolidge say?
I think David Brudnoy was a fan of Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge.
Yes.
Okay, so that helps.
So she says in the early 20s.
Early 20s.
We got 20 to 23 there.
20
right?
to 23. Well, wait a second here.
21, 22, really.
Hold on. Let's see. So what year is... what year did this guy, our current president, get 22? So in the, it would have been, that's 22. So in the 20s, it would have been 20 or 24 in the even decades.
But he took over after Harding passed away.
Oh.
That's why he was sworn in on August 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy. Right. I mean, Jack's got to start over again.
Yeah.
Did Harding die quickly?
Warren G. Harding. I don't think he. He didn't go too far as a president. I think the only reason why we know about him as a president is because he died so quickly.
Yes.
You know, I think he got home from the inauguration and
laid down and never got up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say 1920.
I'm gonna say.
21.
I'm gonna say. I'll say 20. 22.
22 is Jack, and I'm gonna go with 21.
22. Okay, what do you think, Bruce?
1930.
And Marge?
1922.
And Hiram?
I'll go with 22.
Okay, what do you think, Jack? After Warren G. Harding, you say.
Yes.
He was the good-looking one who had sex a lot in the White House.
Thing. No, I know.
Wow. Because he couldn't get his vest off. Couldn't get his jowls to stop shaking. Oh, how are you, darling? Boo. That was the most perfect imitation of him I've ever heard in my entire life. let's see. 1923. 1923 is exactly right. But you were all very, very close.
Wow.
So you all, listen, I want to thank you very much. I got to get going now because we got 72 commercials all to put in the next 12 seconds. So I think we've already lost.
Oh, well.
So what the heck? Let's throw in the towel. Hey, thank you very much, Betty and Bruce.
99.
99 to you and 99 to you, Bruce, and
Hi.
Thank you. And Marge, thank you very, very much.
Yep.
And Hiram, thanks a lot. It was good to talk with you.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll see you.
Okay, yeah, bye-bye now. And Jack, of course, always a wondrous pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I always enjoy it. Thank
you. Because you asked for the history lesson, we're tied now.
We get to...
You got that one. You
were about that.
Yeah, you were closer with that one. 5-5.
5-5.
Perfect. Well, perfect. And no cheating. And you heard again the deductive reasoning that was used to figure these things out.
That's right. Because I didn't remember ever answering these questions before.
I know. And this was great. And Norm was just very talkative. He had loads of information. Pretty funny, all the stuff he was reading about these people.
Yep, that was an excellent. That was what we picked, the exact right one.
It's time now for Jack to head off and go to work soon, and you can listen to him tonight.
Oh, I'll be there for 9, 10, and 11, and then from midnight to 3:30. It's every 10 minutes. You do traffic in the threes because
from midnight to 3.
Midnight to 3:30, and then at 4 o'clock we do another one. You see, there's no show in the middle of the night anymore. Which so what I try and tell you the truth, I try and maintain this friend in the night a little bit, maintain a little silliness in my traffic reports.
Yeah.
just for that very reason.
I will say I have not. I don't listen.
Who listens in the middle of the
BZ?
Night,
you know? No. I want to hear you, but yeah. I haven't tuned into BZ, especially at that time with four kids. Actually, I'm tired now. I do miss staying up that late. What are they doing? Is it just newscasts?
It's just newscast over and over on Saturday night. You get a little bit of 2 hours of Morgan White Jr. from 10 to midnight.
That's it. Just 2 hours.
2 hours. Occasionally, I'm regularly a guest on that show.
Okay. Very nice.
I was just there. Sometimes he'll have a guest that doesn't show up, and they'll call and say, "Can you jump in?" And we'll just talk about history.
I like it. You're you're off in the wings, standing by, waiting for the opportunity.
That's the only reason why I do traffic at all, just in case Morgan needs me. But we do traffic all night long. Every 10 minutes, we just keep on talking and talking and talking about it's still the same bulb changes and wall, different tunnel. They're still doing the same thing. It's like a cult,
Have not washed a wall in a long time. Every time you talked about it, I'd come home, because when I lived in Winthrop or East Boston,
and there'd be a guy with the Windex and a paper towel, and it'd be
the
wiping.
The sheen and the shine on those walls. Every time I go through these tunnels now, there is so much soot and grossness on them. Look, what are they doing?
Quite frankly, what I think is going on here, because the Mass Pike, or the Prudential Tunnel, eastbound and westbound, since there's been a Mass Pike,
yes,
they've been taking up a lane. But you know what?
You are correct.
I think that what's going on here, I think that somebody is getting a kickback on the cone rental.
The cones.
Yeah. Because there are lines everywhere. Did you ever get stuck in traffic at 3 o'clock in the morning somewhere?
Yes.
And you drive down that area, and then you get to the end of the cones, and you didn't see any work going on.
No.
They just close off lanes for miles and miles and miles. Inconvenience us all.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's part of the whole Zen training thing. It goes back to what I was saying earlier on the air.
Yeah.
That with Norm, that it's a way to become peaceful with yourself.
I see. Moving over that lane and just kind of making that shift, almost like a shift in your life.
That's right.
Just momentarily, and then you can stay right in that lane if you'd like.
You merge, yeah. Yeah, it's a merge in life, and then you contemplate the sun bright lights that are burning your retinas.
Yeah.
And as you try and dodge the construction, we have the one construction worker with the shovel who walks into the travel lane on a regular basis.
I didn't know we were going to get this kind of, philosophical.
This is what's going on in the world today.
It's a peaceful world.
It's a peaceful world. So we have to think that anybody, we have to thank anybody who was involved in the planning of transportation situations out there. That's exactly what's going on. So now with the Orange Line shutting down, the people are going to be standing waiting for buses, and you're not able to smoke because they won't let you smoke in line anymore, so they're going to be contemplating and philosophizing and going inward. Is the blue line still closed? The blue line.
The aquarium, that project still ongoing, or are they almost done with that? So they can at least open that line.
I think it opened until the blue line train stalled the other day.
Between aquarium and government center?
Excellent. That's right. That's right there at Bozen Station. It stalled. But since there's been public transportation, people don't realize that it has really been about, teaching us a lesson about going inward and being peaceful with ourselves. And learning to be comfortable with traffic. I tell people that all the time when they're stuck in traffic. Just relax. You're going to get through it. You'll listen to the radio. You're going to be peaceful, and contemplate. And I try and do that as a public service.
Wow. So traffic has been frustrating all these years.
There's been a purpose to it. This is why they've reduced reduced Tremont Street to one travel lane.
Oh, yeah, I found that out recently going to a show down there.
Yeah, one travel lane through the main thoroughfare through downtown Boston.
I also liked wanting to turn back onto Boylston, where you'd be able to go up and go right around the common.
You mean where there's interesting things to talk about if you're a tour guide, but you can't go down there anymore and you have to go around the transportation building?
That was a lovely thing to find out recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, whole bike and pedestrian lane. And
I do that 5 or 6 times a day if I'm giving tours. Oh, I get down there and so I sing.
It's provided enlightenment.
That's right.
You have enlightened me, and I hope the listeners as well.
That's right.
Do not treat traffic as a frustrating experience.
That's why I look as good as I do, because this is all internalizing my thoughts, and I think about growing my hair.
You've enjoyed your time here and would like to have you back again. at some point in the future.
Oh, I was delighted to be here, and it was an awful lot of fun listening to Norm, and enjoyed spending time with you after all these years, and meeting your lovely family and your palatial home.
It's very nice. That's very kind of you.
I live in two rooms and a toilet, you know.
What a way to end our 100th episode, talking about a toilet. Would you expect anything less? I should mention here that Jack came bearing gifts. A bin full of Norm shows. 99% of them recorded by our friend Joan. If it wasn't for her dedication, we wouldn't have this. I can't thank her enough. So Joan, if you're listening, you're the best, and I'll be talking to you soon. I hope you enjoyed our special guest. We will definitely do this again. Until next week, closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For seeing old friends, city view trolley tours, signs from beyond, lingering energy, doilies, tired and retired teachers, the Indiana State Police, Danny Flaherty, butterflies, wide ties, vests, and pomposity, the limit, the strip, and the route, spokesmen, women, and persons, Jack Armstrong, Claire DeLune, the WBZ Hall of Fame, Tom Howie, the one and only Jack Hart.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll do a couple just in case. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
And the overnight radio Zen master, Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.